You're listening to Music for Moving Pictures. I'm your host, Tim Grieving. Did you know there are about a dozen festivals all over Europe that celebrate film music? Spain, Vienna, Krakow, Croatia, Ghent. Thousands of people flock to hear concerts of movie music and to meet film composers from different countries, but often especially from Hollywood. I've been hearing about these festivals for years, and I finally decided I needed to see and hear what they're like. So a few weeks ago, I flew to Prague for a festival that's now in its seventh year. Film Music Prague was the brainchild of Nikola Bojcev, a fellow film score aficionado, who by day is an editor at the Czech Republic's major national public radio company. A more successful Eastern European version of myself, in other words. 10 years ago, Bojcev went to a concert at the Royal Albert Hall in London, and he got inspired.
It was a concert for Kara, produced by David Arnold, and there were, I think, 12 British composers, and I was there with my group of friends, and I was really big fan of film music, and we stand in entrance, and we were waiting for all composers with our notes, and it was so nice experience, this concert, that I decided to do something similar in Prague. I started 7 years ago with one concert. We were lucky because we invited Rachel Portman and Jan Kaczmarek, two Oscar winning composers, and they accepted our invitation, and they went to Prague, and it was a really nice program because Rachel arranged for us a suite from Chocolat, and Jan Kaczmarek presented music from Finding Neverland. And then I found a group of people which were on same level like me, and we started to do a festival. And I was father of this idea, so now I'm artistic director, and I knew that it will be very difficult to hold the position between big promoters and between regular orchestras which started to focus on film music as well. So now we are fighting for our position, and we are still thinking about unique projects in cooperation with other festivals in Europe, and in cooperation with agencies which are representing composers.
Why do you think you've been able to find an audience for these kinds of concerts? Do you think more and more kind of normal people like film music now, or are these mostly people like us who just love film music, you know, fanatically, that have kind of come from all over to hear this music?
During first season, I thought that we are focusing just on film music fans. And I was surprised that a lot of people which are not hardcore film music fans attended our concert, because we presented it like combination of classical and film music, because my opinion is film music is now the most popular part of classical music, and we are trying to do always symphonic concerts with big orchestra or chamber orchestra without any electronical effects, sound effects. And now we know that our audience includes, I think, maybe 40% of hardcore film music fans, and then 60% are people who knows that Hans Zimmer exists and John Williams exists and James Horner, but there are people who regularly attending classical concerts. There are abonnents of Czech Philharmonic because we are cooperate with I think the best Czech symphony orchestras, like Czech National Symphony Orchestra, Prague Radio Symphony Orchestra. So yeah, we have to prepare something unique. The best is to do it with composers directly and with their attendants and with discussion with them about their idea what would be great to perform.
Wojciech and I are backstage at one of the five concerts at Film Music Prague this year. It was a slightly strange program that night. Music from the group Two Steps from Hell, who specialize in scoring movie trailers, and who identify their genre as, quote, epic music. It's not exactly my cup of tea. But the audience here gobbled it up. When Thomas Bergersen, the co-founder of Two Steps from Hell, came out on stage to play violin and piano with the Prague Sinfonietta, the place went berserk. After the show, many of them kept yelling, "We love you!" and they mobbed the stage trying to touch the hem of his garment. For a group that literally scores commercials for movies, in a style that's basically Hans Zimmer meets Prague rock, there sure are a lot of Europeans who can't get enough of it. But that show was really the anomaly, although all the other concerts certainly favored more contemporary film music. The first night's concert, titled Goosebumps, featured new suites from It, the Stephen King movie, as well as Annabelle 2, Creation, and A Cure for Wellness. The theme of the night was that they were all written by the British film composer Benjamin Wallfisch, who was scheduled to be at the festival, but had to back out at the last minute because of a scoring assignment. A surprise in that concert, which was performed by the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, was the world premiere of a piece from Howard Shore's new score for the upcoming film The Catcher Was a Spy. The reason? Shore recorded the score right here in Prague with this orchestra. In fact, many scores are recorded in Prague these days. I asked Wojciech why he thinks that is.
We have words for it. Each Czech man is a musician. And I think it's still true. Czech ensembles are really great, and Czech musicians are very well prepared for recording sessions, and it's all done very quickly. So maybe that's the reason why a lot of Hollywood composers recording their music in Prague, because it's in good quality, in very short time, and as we can say, money first, and Czech musicians are not so expensive like German or American musicians, I think.
Do you think it's just this is a good opportunity to make more money and to be busier if you're a musician, that orchestras who seek out film score work just get more work, and that's very smart from a money standpoint? Or do you think there is a love for the actual music? Is there a special love for film music specifically here?
Yeah, I think I can say they love film music. They love good film music. Sometimes you have to do a project which is not your cup of tea, but generally I think musicians from the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra really enjoying the recording of film music. You can see it on stage when you attend their concert, like with David Arnold in Hamburg or in Dresden. Their face, they are lucky, they are happy, they are enjoying it, and that's, I think, what is important and what the sign of Prague's recording ensembles.
The other headliner of this year's festival, Clint Mansell, also had to bow out for scheduling reasons. So it was a little bit of a buzzkill, since a lot of folks come to these festivals hoping to interact with big-name composers. But the show went on, and the music itself became the star. The Mansell concert was, for me, a highlight of the week. I'm a sucker for his hypnotic, minimalist, and often melancholy scores, particularly for Noah and The Fountain, and most recently Loving Vincent. This was the world premiere of new symphonic concert suites of many of his best-known scores, and they were all arranged by Matt Dunkley, who's been Mansell's key orchestrator for several years. So there was authenticity and faithfulness in the arrangements that made the whole program really shine. Finally, on the back half of the festival, two rising film composers showed up and brought some of that coveted star power. Ilan Eshkeri, composer for films like Stardust, Still Alice, and Shaun the Sheep, came and spoke in two different panel discussions during the day, one of which I moderated. I snagged him afterwards, in the echoey hallway of the old Baroque Palace-turned-event center where all of the panels and after-parties were held.
I think there's just a growing appreciation of film music across the board. And that's great. I'm very grateful for that. There are more people interested in doing it. There's an influx of more people, and there's greater awareness of it, which is what's getting more people interested in it. And it works on both sides. That means that there are more fans of it. And I'm very grateful that there are people who are interested in the work that I'm doing.
I mean, it's such a unique situation where you, who usually works in your room alone, and you know, there's sort of an anonymity to film composers, for better or worse, in the mainstream. You come to these places and people are lining up for autographs and taking pictures, and what's your take on all that?
I think that using the word celebrity is a bit of a push here. It's still extremely niche. I'm very grateful that people appreciate the work that I do, and that what I do connects to people, that's really wonderful. I'm not sure that I think about it in my day-to-day. I just try to artistically be true to myself and create the best work I possibly can. And if people appreciate the work that I'm making, then that's wonderful, and I'm very, very grateful for that.
If you were planning your own festival or event celebrating film music, what would be sort of your ideal of a way of presenting film music or celebrating film music?
I honestly spend my whole life creating film music. If I was organizing a festival, it wouldn't be film music. It would be something that was not my job, but more something that I loved outside of my work.
The other big name who showed up was Daniel Pemberton, who's based in London like Eshkeri. Pemberton's star is on the rise, with recent scores like Steve Jobs for director Danny Boyle, All the Money in the World for Ridley Scott, and Aaron Sorkin's film Molly's Game. Both Pemberton and Eshkeri had pieces on the Final Nights program, which was built around the theme of films based on true stories. The first three nights concerts took place at a new venue on the outskirts of Prague, built inside an old industrial building. It was basically a long, flat rectangle, and honestly, not terribly inspiring. But on the final night, we moved downtown to the historic Rudolfinum, built in 1885 and the home of the Dvorak Concert Hall, where Dvorak himself conducted the very first concert. A much more inspiring venue. I grabbed Pemberton just before the show, standing outside the hall, next to a statue of Dvorak.
Prague symbolically has a very special place for me because I did my first ever orchestral recording here probably about 15 to 20 years ago. So to actually come back here and have my music performed is like a quite big deal for me, and it's very weird. There's a lot of weird memories here of projects I've recorded from a long time ago at Schmecki, and now coming back to Hidden Played is really exciting for me.
I mean, Prague has sort of a film music ties beyond the festival. It's become sort of a hub for recording, and why do you think that is? That's become such an important place for that.
Well, I think they have some great players here. I think a lot of the work of James Fitzpatrick, who runs a company called Tadlo Music, he does a lot of like re-recordings of like classic Jerry Goldsmith scores and Maurice Jarre scores, and I think he's been quite instrumental in some ways in like pushing the orchestral players over here in a more filmic direction. So a lot of UK and American films record scores here as a result, because they're very like competitive price wise compared to English orchestras, and when you don't have a big budget, it's really fantastic, because they're great players out here. And when I was starting out, I couldn't afford to do stuff in London, and I ended up doing it here. But certain types of scores, I think they're better over here. Each country has their own strengths, like London for like more avant-garde or cutting edge stuff, but if you want like that lush symphonic sound, Prague's really fantastic.
Why do you think these festivals devoted to playing, celebrating film music, gathering people who love it, have taken off in such a huge way in Europe?
I don't know what it is, but there's something about Europe which celebrates cinema as an art form more than I think other parts of the world. I think in UK and US we're probably a lot more devoted to celebrity and the kind of faces of cinema, whereas I think in Europe they're a lot more interested in the mechanics of cinema and storytelling and the artists behind that. And so that's always one of those things I love about Europe, is they celebrate the people behind the screen rather than the ones on the screen.
What's it like for you being someone in a field where, with the exception of one or two people, there's a lot of anonymity in the mainstream, to be suddenly treated like a celebrity and have people lining up to get your autograph and take pictures with you and stuff like that?
I mean, the best thing about being a film composer is you're pretty anonymous. So it's great, because it just means you get to carry on with your life. I get to act like an idiot. No one has any idea who I am, but they know what my work is, hopefully. And if they don't know my work, they'll have heard it. And so you're basically really just being judged on your work, which is kind of really what anyone wants, because everything else is superfluous. And the coolest fame in the world is name fame, because you can turn it on and off. Like face fame, you're screwed the rest of your life. But like John Williams could walk by and 95% of people would not know who he is. Well, right now they probably would, but any other place, people would have no idea who he is. Or Morricone, and they're like the kind of greatest composers living of our time. Yet people know their work, they don't know them. And that's, I always think your work should be louder than you. And I think film music allows that.
Right, but then you come to a place like this and people do know who you are. They want that autograph and stuff. What does that feel like?
It's sweet. It's nice to see people actually buying CDs and LPs. But, it's a pretty niche, small community of film music fans. So anyone who buys my CD, I'm always like really impressed that anyone's bought a CD these days. So always give them an autograph.
That final concert, which featured the Prague Radio Symphony Orchestra, a full choir, a boys' choir, two sopranos, and a theremin soloist, was by far the cream of the whole festival, and a knockout way to end the week. There's nothing like hearing a well-programmed, well-performed evening of film music in a stunning old hall with excellent acoustics. Sitting two seats away from Daniel Pemberton, who got to soak up the audience's applause when they learned he was in the building, well, I was glad I flew the 13 hours from home for the experience. And that's it for this episode of Music for Moving Pictures. In a few weeks, I'll travel to Krakow, Poland to attend the Film Music Festival there, where I hear a brand new rock arena fills to capacity at 15,000 seats for an even bigger, more lavish celebration of my favorite kind of music. I'll keep you posted. As always, thanks for joining me as we continue listening to the movies.